Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding as we together get into your word. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for continuing the good work you began in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, everybody. Todd Tomasella, Safeguard Your Soul Radio. And the more truth we have in us, the more our hearts can be safeguarded. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield or a guard, a protection to those that put their trust in Him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's why we're getting ready to preach the word, Brother Travis, and commune over some incredibly important biblical doctrine and truth. Good morning, Brother Travis. Brian III on the line here. How you doing, brother?
Good morning, Todd. Good to be back with you this morning.
It's a beautiful day the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it and be glad. Now, brother, this recent piece that you put together from the English pastor H.C.G. Molay. Is that how you say his name?
Yep, that is he.
So he came up with the title of the show, the program, the content here today is the concurrent working of deep opposites. So was he the one that coined that phrase, brother?
I don't know. He's the first one I've ever seen that said it. Okay. He said it way back in like 1600 or something. I don't know how long ago, but his commentary on 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 18 or 7, the end of the chapter, and that commentary was really brilliant on the cross, and I was mystified by that term, and I sought from then on to find it again and to understand it, and my development of understanding has gone on ever since. And the verse I'd like to start with, Todd, is not actually in that particular passage, but it's one you and I have discussed where two seas met. Acts 27:41. Just read that and then let's discuss what that is, what symbolism yes. there is in that verse.
Acts 27:41, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder or hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves.
There it is. I mean, that is a picture of where we are as Christians. When a person gets saved, he moves into a place between the two ages, between the two worlds, between the two creations, the old creation and the new creation. And the cross is right there in that overlap between the two. Now, here we have this ship, this boat falling. Now, you and I have discussed falling. We fall into God, falls into a place where two seas met. Now, those two seas represent the two great ages, the old creation and the new creation. This world and the world to come meet right there at the cross, Todd. And there is a working of opposites there. The forces that come in the old creation are primarily negative. I mean, disease, violence, you know, all manner of iniquity, opposition, adversity, Satan, demonic power, sin, the whole thing.
Same with
but
the curse,
God
the fall
brings,
of man.
God brings the positives of the new creation also to bear there at the cross. And that's why it says in 2 Corinthians 4, we're cast down but not destroyed. You can see the two worlds butting up against each other right there. The old creation puts us down, but the new creation raises us up. And so all Christians, when they take up the cross, Todd, even daily, find themselves in this place where the two seas meet. And the forepart stuck fast. That's our spirit. That's our higher nature. That's our born-again new man that is attached to this little sandbar, which is actually a shore before the great shore. It's a heaven before the real, I mean, the heaven that we all know about. It's a little heaven here on earth, and we're stuck fast there. We're stuck fast to Christ there. We're in Christ. But then you have the hinder part, which is our lower nature, the flesh, the old sin. self, the old man that has to be broken up. And that's what happens at this cross. The violence of the waves, the violence of the world, the oppositional forces that come against us are the forces that actually break up our fleshly nature, Todd, and cause it to fall away. The outer man, you could call it that, as it does in 2 Corinthians 4. And the inner man, which is this forepart, stuck fast, never wavers. So it's actually Satan again destroying himself. The violence of the waves is what tears away or sifts us of the part of us that's hindering us, the lower nature, the sin nature. And right here in this verse, Todd, is a picture of someone who is on the cross between the two ages, between the two worlds, the two creations. And that's where sanctification occurs, right there at this transitional point, this threshold point of the new creation, right there. If we hold that tension, if we hold those opposites, don't try to escape it. Let it work. Let the violence come. Let Satan bring it all. But we will faith through this and reach the permanent shore at some point. That's a long explanation there, Todd, but I hope I get something to
That's really good. This verse represents Christ who hung between heaven and hell, between two worlds to bridge the gap for the body
absolutely.
Of Christ to be saved. This
bridge that
absolutely.
Gap between those two seas, Todd. Between
yes.
those two seas, he bridged that gap. You're exactly right, and he did it on the cross. It
sounds like Colossians 2:15, where the violence of the cross happened, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing
exactly.
over them in it. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And this also brings into focus what you mentioned earlier. Did you want to go to 2 Corinthians 4:7?
Yeah, let's go
to 11.
Let's just start with verse 11, Todd. I think we just
okay.
start
yeah.
right there.
Verse 11, 2 Corinthians 4. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh.
Now, that first part of that verse is speaking to people that are still alive, all right? This is not physical death we're talking about here. Physical death is certainly included, but it's predominantly every day of our lives we're delivered over to death. And the way this verse is set up, Paul is talking about death as an enemy here, as a person, not as an event or a condition. He's talking about us being delivered over. This is redemptive withdrawal here. We're delivered over to Satan. We're delivered over Satan's minions. We're delivered over to Satan's activities like weather and disease and people that put us down. We are delivered over to, into the hands of the enemy. Now that's God's just removing his protective hedge and allowing this to happen for a good purpose. That the life of Jesus would be manifested in our lives. And that verse 10 would come about, which is that we die inwardly. We're delivered over in the hands of death in order that this death to self would also occur within us. We have to come to our wits' end. We have to lose control and be in an extreme situation before this self will begin to deteriorate and we won't depend on ourselves anymore. Our only place to look is up to God in these situations. This is why we always bear about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, is because we're delivered over to death in verse 11. And notice the juxtaposition of death and life in both these verses, Todd. If there's no death, there's no life. If there's no death, you cannot manifest Christ's life within your life. The world can't see Christ in you unless you are in this death process and being turned over to the enemy. In many ways, we've talked about the multitude of ways this can happen, but here's where those two C's meet. That death is there and life is there at the cross, Todd. And as we embrace those opposites, as we hold that tension and don't try to escape it, don't try to drug it or drunk it, don't try to buy your way out of it, don't try to, all the various ways we try to save ourselves, just let it happen. Hold that creative tension, Todd. That is the creative tension right there, where God can raise up a new person, a new creation in Christ, right there at that cross where two C's meet.
What would you say to the person that needs a little help, a little bump in their faith to ensure them, encourage them in the fact that God will raise up, that which lays itself down in death, co-death with Christ.
Well, if you read 13, 13 is that, the faith. And we're given faith as a gift. Read 13.
And this passage, saints, is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Absolute platinum passage beginning in verse 7. Now, verse 13 and 14 says, "We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you." Amen. Well, that reminds you of Romans 8:11.
That's the focus of our faith. That's the target of our faith, is the resurrection, Todd. We believe that when we're going through the cross, God is going to raise us up from the dead. We believe that he's going to raise us up and give us a new body after physical death. We believe every day as we die to self, he's going to raise out of the ashes of that old person a new person, Todd, a new creation person, a new man, and is working through these afflictions that get us that an eternal weight of glory. That's now down about verse 17.
That's good. Verse 16 through 18, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish."
Stop right there, Todd. Faint not happens when we have faith in the midst of a storm, faith in the midst of the cross experience, Todd. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
"For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," that's the hinder part, right? "Yet the inward man, anchored in Christ, is renewed day by day." That's the fore part of the ship where the two seas meet.
Absolutely.
"For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now, brother, that's not just talking about our earthly existence, although that definitely is at the center of this, but it's also talking about that season of the cross and death.
Oh,
it's a light affliction.
That is what it's talking about, the cross, Todd. Affliction the devil and his minion, his tools bring upon us.
Well, Paul said that he learned the glory even when the thorn that was put in the flesh by the messenger of Satan, because of the great things that would come out of that, as we discussed last week on the program. He would have been missing a lot of blessing had he not had that experience.
Exactly, and that's why he was able to rejoice in his infirmities and take pleasure in his distresses, is that he realized these things, these tools of Satan coming against him, these afflictions were just doorways deeper into Christ, just opportunities for him to grow and to build more of an eternal weight of glory by faithing through these things, Todd.
So we should have, as you mentioned earlier, Brother Travis, I think this is really key. We should have the resurrection, not only of our bodies and our souls when we die or Christ returns soon, whatever happens first for each of us, we should have this in view. Now, some people like to rightly say, hey, I've read the back of the book. We win. Revelation.
Exactly.
We're going to win with Christ. And brother, we can be assured that as we lay down our lives and Satan comes in and things happen in our lives, that Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, is going to raise us up and bring great things, resurrection blessings, in those cross seasons in particular, right?
Exactly. And the thing is that God's way of operating, Todd, is to bring good out of bad, strength out of weakness, life out of death, wholeness out of brokenness. He has no other method of producing an eternal weight of glory except through affliction. That is the gospel.
Amen.
He does not build more strength out of a little strength. He doesn't bring power out of power. He doesn't bring wholeness out of a little bit of wholeness. He brings something out of nothing, Todd. We have to be brought to naught before we can be made something.
Amen. We see this divine
pattern.
This
is the gospel right here.
Exactly. Which is what Paul said the gospel is, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.
Exactly.
1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And as you often point out, these moments together are so key, saints. Brother Travis helps to point us to the cross, if you will, and point out the cross in the scriptures. They're everywhere, Brother Travis. Am I correct? Throughout scripture?
Absolutely. I mean, they're in Jesus' sayings. constantly, and Paul writes just almost singly about that in many different ways, but he gets back to this same dying and rising participation, because that's Amen. What the gospel is, Todd.
The dying and rising participation, exactly. And if somebody's saying, wait a minute, Jesus died on the cross, we don't have to. Well, we're talking about the crucified life, saints. Paul said, as you recall, exactly. We are crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, it's a co-death. Also Romans 6, beginning of the chapter. So we participate in the death to our will, death to our personal life, that Christ might reign. The only way that can be resurrection blessings in the reigning of Christ in place of us reigning is to dethrone ourselves by being crucified with Christ. Brother Travis, there is a positional and a practical death, correct?
Exactly. We enter into the positional death one time, Todd. That's the day we get saved, our first salvation. But then this process occurs over and over, and that was what sanctifies us. The violence of the waves, the things that come against us in the remainder of our physical life on earth, these are the things that Satan brings against us and God uses to sift us, to purge us, to eliminate the things that hinder us, spiritually speaking, God.
We have to be willing individually to say with Christ, and there's so many great scriptural truths and statements that I find, saints, to be extremely beneficial to me on a personal basis, and I know that's what many saints also find. Anybody who does it will find that the great results of it, like, not my will, but thine be done. That's a great prayer in the morning where Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. That blessing that came allowed him to endure the cross, despising the shame, and then experiencing the resurrection, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Now, also, scriptures like John 3:30, John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Jesus on the cross, one of the seven saying, profound, he said, into thine hands I commend or submit my spirit. Man, those are great prayers, Brother Travis.
They are, Todd, and here's another point about this. I sit down all the time for the first time with a group of people, and I say, what is sin? And inevitably, they will only answer, it's something we do to violate God's rules or don't do that we should be doing. People do not really understand that sin is a nature. Sin is a person in the Bible, just like death is a person.
Romans 7,
and
yeah.
Not understanding that fact is really a hindrance to their growth. They've got to understand the sin nature. And the next thing they've got to understand is that the only thing that can overcome that demonic power under our skin, sin, is the power of Christ's resurrection, Todd. That is what gives you the power in the now to defeat sin. So the second thing they don't know is that we have access to resurrection now. We don't have to read the end of the book. We can read right here in 2 Corinthians 4 that we have access to resurrection power today. And then the last thing they don't understand is the fact that we can't do this in our own power. It just won't happen. We do not have the strength, humanly speaking, or with human effort or whatever, religious activities to overcome this sin nature, Todd.
Amen. Romans 7, is that where you'd point people to really delve into
this? I would really go
this.
Back to Romans 6, verse 4. 6 and 7 are loaded with this concept here.
And then, well, 6 is perhaps death. 7 would be the burial, and 8 the resurrection.
Newness Chapter of life 7, is though. This resurrection life, Todd, in verse 4
amen.
Of 6.
Romans 6, 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. That's resurrection life, isn't it, brother?
That's resurrection life right there, Todd. Read 5. I mean, that's the continual thing there.
Romans 6:5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That's the gospel.
But if we're not
right
planted
there.
And buried in that death, Todd, we will have no resurrection power or newness of life functioning within us.
That's right.
It won't happen.
Amen. As we do consent to the death that we need to die, the old man has to die, there is going to be the greatest fruit. That's the only way that fruit that's going to be born out of our lives, saints. And Jesus said that as we abide in him, planted together in his death, there's going to be not only fruit, but more fruit and much fruit. That's, quote, verbatim there in John 15. There's a progression of fruit bearing, the 30, 60, and the 90-fold. And it's fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Now, Brother Travis, did you want me to finish in the last verse of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Two C's right there, Todd. One of them you can see. The other one is invisible. And you've got to, it appears to you through faith.
Yeah.
And so we're right there in that vortex of experience, right there in the midst of those opposites, Todd, that are working. And out of those opposites coming together against each other and our presence in the midst of that, we are more and more transformed. That is the place or the crucible of transformation, Todd, right there at that cross. That cross in the overlap of the two ages, the two seas, is the absolute place of transitioning. It is the door. It is the threshold out of the old and into the new. And if you stay there, the more you stay there, the more growth there'll be, the more change there'll be, the more transformation there will be. What it means when it says present your body's living sacrifice is just hold those opposites, Todd. God, don't try to escape. Hold those opposites and let them do their work on you.
Amen. And if you like, I'll read that verse again to bring it into view. Acts 27:41. And falling into a place where two seas met. Brother, that sounds like when we surrendered initially to Christ right there.
Exactly. It's every day. It's experiential.
And that's a great song, I Surrender All, biblically.
Absolutely.
And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. Those violence of the waves are the storms of life that Satan brings many times. Is that not correct?
Exactly, Tom. And the corresponding verse here in this 2 Corinthians 4 is verse 16.
Mm.
The forepart is the inner man. The hinder part is the outer man.
So it breaks up that fleshly life and destroys it, right, in the sense of stopping it from functioning.
Exactly. And then we see this in Luke 31 and 32. Jesus saying to Peter, Satan has demanded that might have you, that he could sift you as wheat. And I'm going to let him. And I'm praying your faith will hold up. Or words of that, I don't have the exact terminology.
Yeah.
But see, that's it. That Jesus is turning Peter over to Satan. That's redemptive withdrawal right there for a good purpose, that he might be sifted, that these waves that Satan's going to bring in his life will break up his hinder part, his flesh, his old man, his outer man. And it happened. Peter was transformed, and he went through these three denials. Satan tempted him and got him there and that. But through that failure, he was benefited. He was progressed.
This is an absolutely incredible message. I want to encourage you to pass it on to others. Also, to listen to it again. Here's the resurrection, brother, out of that passage you just quoted from, and we'll close with this. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. There's the resurrection right there. The conversion or the reconversion, the bringing back to Christ, and strengthening of the brethren, which is a ministry of Christ flowing through our lives. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. 2 Corinthians 4:12. God bless you, saints. Thanks for listening. Brother Travis, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd. What an amazing message.
God bless you, brother.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, Scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all Scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.